Good morning, everyone, to St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church. We hope you all had a good week. I know I woke up Wednesday morning looking at the snow and not being the happiest person in the world. And we all look forward to the better weather. And for some of us, the signs of spring coming and the better weather, opening up a pool, going to the cottage, opening it up, working in the garden. Is anybody as sore as I am today? For me, it's picking up my motorcycle out of storage. So we did that yesterday, and I went for a little ride. Renee did not go on the back, but there are many times that we go along the parkway from Niagara Falls to Fort Erie. There are little places that you can pull over. So we'll pull over and sit on one of the desks, and we look out over the water, and you see the water lapping around, the wind blowing over it. You see the trees that are blossoming, the flowers that are there, the birds that are flying around. There's squirrels everywhere. There's lots of life. You get away from the city, you're out in the country, kind of, and you kind of the worries of the week go away, and you have a chance to relax. And for some reason, for Renee and myself, God just feels a little bit closer at that point in time. So we really enjoy that, and we come back home. And the last time we went for a ride, Renee said she had so much fun, she spent the entire time back praying. I never asked her whether that was because of my driving or because she still felt God was close by. So again, welcome to our service, and I'll pass it over to Renee.
Well, a hearty good morning to each and every one of you this Sunday, May the 1st already. Can you believe it? It has not necessarily been a harsh winter, but it certainly has been a long winter. And as Doug has explained, we are so ready, I'm sure many of you are, to get out there and get your hands dirty in the garden, open up that pool and the cottages, and just get out there and enjoy what the Lord has made. As well as time does fly very, very quickly. And reminiscing and going over things, it was 36 years ago, right about this time, Doug invited me to one of your services here at the St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church. The choir was singing that day, and the songs were beautiful. You could definitely hear the love through the voices and in this congregation for your Lord and your Savior, and it really impressed me. But because of my Catholic faith and my Catholic background, I had never heard these songs before. But there was one song that caught my listening ear and touched my heart and has been a favorite of mine even to this day. The song is "Be Strong in the Lord." For me, this song encourages not only strengthen, sorry, for me, the song encourages not only strengths within us for the Lord, but also faithfulness, courage, and trust. We all need to have this kind of faith for God in our lives, especially in times like this. When I hear this song, even today, I want to praise and worship Him with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. Not only is God faithful, God is good.
Oh, by the way, this is Renee and I'm Doug Penner. We should have introduced ourselves already for those who don't know us. Some announcements. Check out the Week at a Glance. There's many other announcements in the bulletin for you to read. I'm not going to really highlight anything. Thank you to those who participated this morning in the time of prayer for the lead minister search. Again, it will happen the first Sunday of next month, so if you want to gather together at 10 o'clock again?
Yep,
at 10 o'clock, same time. Check out the church directory you have this week. Make sure that all the information you want there, emails if you wish that, phone numbers, etc., make sure that they're all correct. And Randy is here. I don't see Randy.
There he is.
Hey. He's over in the corner. Welcome back. We hope you're feeling a little bit better anyway. it takes some of us down a lot more than others. So, and Pastor Randy will be doing the pastoral prayer, and Paul will be speaking the message today. The call to worship comes from Psalm 30, verses 1, 2, and 4. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name.
Okay, and with that, Let's bow our heads to pray, please. Almighty and merciful God, you have brought us together in this place and in the name of your Son to receive your mercy and grace in a time of worship and need. Open our eyes to see our sinfulness. Touch our hearts, Father, and convert us again to yourself. Where sin has scattered, may your love make us whole and one again. Where sin has brought weakness, may your power heal and strengthen. Where sin has brought death, may your Spirit rise us again to life. Give us a new heart to love you so that our lives may truly reflect the image of your Son. And may our world come to see the glory of Christ revealed more clearly in us, your church, and come to know that he truly is the one whom you have sent. Jesus Christ, the one who we proclaim as Lord. Father, we also want to remember those within our congregation, in our community, and throughout the world who are in desperate need of your grace, love, mercy, and healing. Let us remember the people of the Ukraine who are struggling for their way of life and freedom. We pray for a peaceful resolve to this situation and thank you for those who are doing your good works there and around the world to help others in need. Let us pray also, Lord, for Paul and his message and ask that you keep our hearts and minds open as he shares your word and truth with us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right.
Good morning. Let's all stand and sing our first song together. I think it's a bit of a medley. We're going to do two songs. We Bring the Sacrifice of Praise and Great is the Lord.
Sacrifice. Today's scripture reading comes from John chapter 21, verses 1 to 19. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Jesus reinstates Peter. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to them, "Follow me."
So just an introduction to the song, "This Is My Father's World." Malky Babcock was an athlete, an outstanding baseball pitcher, and a champion swimmer. He kept himself in shape by running. When he was pastor for the First Presbyterian Church in Lockport, New York, he would run out in the early morning to the brow of the hill 2 miles away and look over at Lake Ontario. Before he left, he would tell his church staff, "I'm going out to see my father's world." From the brow of the hill, he would run 2 more miles into a deep ravine where there were as many as 40 different species of birds found, the sanctuary. Then he would run back. Babcock loved athletics and nature as well as playing music on the organ, piano, and violin. So it was not strange that he would write a hymn extolling God's handiwork in nature. There are good lines to memorize here, lines to remember when the world seems to be going haywire. "This is my father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is ruler yet."
This is my father's world, and to my It's good to be back with you again after 2 weeks of being down dealing with COVID, and I'm still, I don't know if you can tell my voice, I'm still dealing with some respiratory issues, and so do limit some of my contacts with people, and certainly have been wearing an N95 mask of late as opposed to just a regular cloth mask. So please bear with me as I deal with this, and continue to pray for God's healing, as many other people I know have also been dealing with this illness. Some very slight, but others it's been very hard, and for some even fatal. So we continue to hold each other in prayer. A little bit later on, Paul will be sharing the message, Gone Fishing. I just note that for Jesus being the son of a carpenter, a good number of his faith stories happen at the lakeside and involve fishing. As we collectively look forward to the season of spring and summer, we look forward to taking opportunities, as Doug mentioned, to take time for reflection on life and faith and our journey together with Jesus. I invite you to pray with me. God of all creation, you search me out of my hiding. You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You created my inmost being and you knit me together in my mother's womb. I'm marvelously made, and the mysteries of life are fascinating to explore, but also simply to enjoy. God of wonder and mystery, you search me and you know my heart. You know my anxious thoughts. I confess, these days there's much to be anxious about regarding health and healthcare workers. During the pandemic, there have also been disagreements over how we should live or how we as a community find our life together. For some, there has been the strain of financial matters, inflation and rising cost of goods, the effects on family life. And then we see the conflicts between world leaders resulting in violence and death, of destruction, and families having to flee. And there have been ever-increasing turbulent weather patterns that cause us concern. God of grace and forgiveness, we turn to you in confession of our own role of violence toward one another, of our greed to accumulate more at the expense of others having less, of our pleasure of freedom while enslaving others. Forgive us, O God, when we fail to speak out for justice, equality, and peace for others. When we sit with Jesus at the lake shore, restore our hearts and minds, causing us to seek your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. May the morning song of birds remind us of your promise to provide what we need for each and every day. As a community of faith, we pray for one another, not just for health and well-being, but for our spiritual life together in our desire to follow Jesus. And so we share in prayer for the children and youth of our community, for parents, for the elderly, for grandparents. As a whole, for one another, we seek to be faithful to you in love and care and compassion. We pray in a particular way that you be with Katie, Peter, Ike, Waldemar, Herb, Walter, and Ellie, and others who deal with critical health issues. Gracious God, you've heard the call for the need of pastoral leadership for the life of the church. And again, we ask for your guidance in the person you would bring into our midst to share in spiritual leadership, in challenge, as we all seek to follow Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives. In the midst of that, in the background, we hear the continuing destruction and violence in Ukraine and ask for a sense of peace, for healing and restoration in the midst of that horrendous conflict. As a community of faith, we dedicate our tithes and offerings for the ministry of the church, for healing and hope that is found only in Jesus Christ, who is Lord and Savior of all, and for whom we seek to be faithful to as we live and have our being for these days and for eternity. We pray this in his name. Amen.
So good to have Pastor Randy back with that steady voice. And thank you. Who chose This Is My Father's World? You chose that one, Trudy? I love that piece. I love that piece so very much. Just a little bit of a side story. I also am a lover of nature and going for walks in the early morning hours. And I guess three or four times over my running career, I've run the Niagara Falls International Marathon. And it's rather unique in that it starts in Buffalo, New York, at the Art Gallery in Buffalo. And then you, of course, run across the bridge. And there have been moments over the years when I have contemplated that pastor in Lockport, New York, and how close it is there, and thought about him. Just love that peace, that connection that we as believers in the God of creation, that we are able to celebrate this magnificent earth that we have. And the cosmos. I'm not sure how many of you got outside Friday, Saturday, or Sunday morning to see the conjunction of the planets. On the eastern horizon, you had to be outside by 5 o'clock, 5:30, because, of course, sunrise is at about 6:10 in the morning. But there was this awesome conjunction of planets. Of course, Venus, the bright in the morning star, we call it oftentimes, right above the horizon and right down next to it, Jupiter, just above the eastern horizon. And then you had that beautiful, rosy Mars a little bit further up. Then a little bit further up in the trajectory at about a 45-degree angle from the Earth was Saturn. And so I got up this morning at 4:30 and went outside in my Father's world, and I listened to all the birds who were beginning to wake up. And you say, but wasn't it overcast this morning, Paul? Yes, it was slightly overcast, but Mars was still visible, and so was Jupiter and Venus. And so that was wonderful to see. And I, of course, saw them on Friday and Saturday as well. That is awesome, to see our Father's world. This is not part of my sermon. When you put your finger up to the horizon, and down here is Jupiter, and then next to Jupiter is Venus, it's about the width of your index finger between those two planetary orbs. But do you realize that 650 million miles between those two planets? Awesome. Awesome. We have an awesome God. Amen? Amen. So, If you fall asleep during my sermon this morning, you know, sometimes my sermons are so boring, even I fall asleep and I'm preaching. Thank you, Ruth, for reading that amazing scripture. Truly one of our favorite scripture readings, a post-resurrection appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're gradually returning to what we would call normal time. In some ways, Jesus' disciples were prepared to do just that, to return to the familiar, fishing. But we want to affirm that when Jesus shows up and touches our lives, Jesus changes everything. When the resurrected Christ touches our lives, we too will be changed. Changed to respond to his calling on our lives. I just wanted to echo an amen, praise the Lord, as Renee and Doug shared their opening welcome and how God got a hold of their lives as together they were worshiping here. Thank you, Renee, for sharing that, and Doug. When Jesus appeared to his disciples in Jerusalem, the resurrected Lord instructed them to go north to Galilee, where he would meet them again. And having followed his directives, in today's gospel reading from John 21, seven of those disciples are now by the seashore, the Sea of Galilee. They're now back in home territory. The locals who knew them and had watched them follow Jesus through the years of ministry would have no doubt remarked on their homecoming as they saw those disciples begin to putter around the fishing vessel with the nets and getting it ready. And I wondered if there were a few comments from the neighboring fishing vessels from some of those fish hands. So you thought your Messiah was going to change the world, did you? In the end, your adventure was just a waste of time. See, his ideas have amounted to nothing. Of course, we've read the end of the story, and we know that something grand is about to unfold in these verses of Scripture, in this event. We know the gospel story well. Jesus calling these fishermen from their trade. Jesus inviting them to come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men and women. Gathering people, not fish, into God's kingdom. That would be their pursuit. And what an adventure it was. The highs and the lows of Jesus's earthly ministry. But now the disciples must have been puzzled. The risen Lord had met with them and he had called them to this great mission. In fact, in John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus commissioned them. Jesus said to them, "As the Father has sent me, so am I sending you." Now the days were slowly going by and nothing was happening. This was not what they had expected. And as they talked together, their minds were full of questions and doubts. They were back at their old fishing spot. And as they watched the familiar boats of the other fishermen heading out early in the morning with their nets, they saw them return with their catch and count the fish on the shores and spread the nets to clean them and get them ready for the following day's work. And you know what happens. Eventually, Simon Peter says, "Well, I'm going fishing." The others say, "Okay, we'll come too." And they went out at night, as was the custom, and their hands quickly returned to the tasks. And no doubt those calloused hands began to hurt as they handled the nets, as they pulled on the oars, as they found their place out on the Sea of Galilee. This had been their daily routine for years. And when Jesus had appeared and called them on a mission with great challenges and greater excitement than they could have imagined fishing. And as they returned to their old task, we can imagine that there was a feeling that their adventure was now coming to an end. And how despondent they must have felt. And then, of course, to catch nothing in their nets during the night. I've met over the years, as I'm sure you have as well, men and women who started their Jesus journey with great hope and great faith. Where are they now? It was exciting while it lasted, they may have said. Now let's get back to the familiar. Who here has not slipped back into routines, having been challenged to live at a different level? A level of faith, a level of service, a level of spiritual yearning and growth, only to slip back into the normal, into the routine. What are you neglecting this morning? Christ is putting the divine finger on. You know, God put his finger on my life many times, many different occasions. When I was finishing up my last pastorate in Ontario before going out to Manitoba, I found myself teaching. I found myself at Brock University. I found myself working with young university students, teaching Canadian history, 20th century world history, serving as a teaching assistant. And I was at a crossroads in my life. There was the opportunity for me to pursue studies at the University of Toronto, at McMaster University. And I had to come to a point where was God leading me down another path that I was very familiar with, academics, or was God wanting to continue to lead me into pastoral ministry? Well, God in Christ called me through a text just like this, through this text. And God put his finger on my heart, on my mind, and said, "Paul, I want you to feed my sheep. I want you to care for my lambs." Perhaps God this morning is calling you to reignite that fervor to serve our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is on the shore. Out in the boat, the fishing boat, it's probably around dawn. "Good morning, lads. Have you caught any fish?" And they answer together, "No." And then, of course, this person on the shore said, "Throw your nets on the right side of the boat and you'll get some." And when they do, they catch so many fish that they are unable to haul the net in. It's being dragged behind the fishing vessel. John immediately recognizes, it's the Lord. And Simon Peter, impulsive Peter, dives into the lake and swims that distance to the shoreline. And the others follow in the boat, pulling on the oars, bringing that vessel with that huge net full of fish to the shore. And on the beach, there's Jesus. He's frying fish over a charcoal fire. Does that bring back any memories for you? He's got fish frying and he's got bread cooking. And when they drag the net to shore, they find that it contains 153 large fish. There is no sense in which this resurrected Christ can be regarded as an apparition. This is the resurrected Jesus Christ. The tomb was empty, and from the grave came a real person and a real body. And this was the third time that the resurrected Jesus had appeared to his disciples. And so Jesus says, come on, boys. Come on, lads. I'm preparing breakfast for you. Jesus, he conquered death. He's alive. He's the source of our faith. This is God in human form. His resurrection foreshadows ours. Oh, death, where is thy victory? That's our Christian hope. His resurrection is the reason we live with hope. Come on, lads, sit around the fire. Enjoy the fish fry with the bread. This story also encourages us to hold on to God's calling in our life. Peter thought he was going to go back to his old job, but Jesus says, you're not going back to your old ways, your old job. In a few weeks, we will be looking forward to the season of Pentecost, when we will remember this same fisherman, Peter, standing on the day of Pentecost and preaching a message that saw 3,000 people surrender their lives to the way of Jesus Christ. The message from this little band of fishermen who had felt so dejected, it spread like wildfire over the then known world, and it turned the world upside down or right side up. This story of the disciples going fishing had a strange mixture. This story has a mixture of the mundane, but also the awesome, the wonderful. It's when Peter and his friends return to their familiar daily duties that the Lord appears and he challenges them. This is the key. God in Christ shows up and relates to us when we are occupied with the mundane, the ordinary, the everydayness of life. You and I know times of the mundane. The mundane, the common, those little chores that we do throughout our day, throughout our week, throughout our life. And here in this story, we have an encouragement to persist in the tasks before us, whether it be at our place of work, in our home, in our church, that Jesus Christ is continuing to call us into his active service. Well, Jesus said, okay, fine, you've got 150. Somebody took the time to count the fish. I find that story amazing. And Jesus said, would you mind bringing some of your fish over to the fire? We need a few more fish. I can just pick. And by the way, where did Jesus get the fish from? But it's interesting that one of those fishermen counted and said, 153 large fish. Okay, there's seven of us here. Okay, 153. That works out to, unless my math is wrong, 21 fish each. That will help. And then there will be six that we can add to the frying pan. Sometimes, even in the presence of an awesome divine moment, the presence of God everywhere, we tend to be preoccupied with the mundane. How many fish are there? Let's count the fish. Someone's got to count the fish. This little episode here of someone counting the fish, it reminds me a little bit of Martha, who was occupied with so many things. Let's be fair, though. Presumably, the catch had to be divided between those fishermen and sold for their own livelihood, for their families. This little story that we've talked about here, it's got this amazing postscript, which is in some ways the deal. Jesus says to Simon Peter, do you love me? It's so tender. This little addendum, after they've had their fill of fish and bread and shared with their master, the Lord Jesus. It's oftentimes called the reinstatement of Peter by our Lord. So Peter is reinstated. He's commissioned to feed to shepherd God's sheep. Wonderful story. It's wonderful because God loves to take our ordinary circumstances and bless us in the midst of the exercise, whether it's fishing, whether it's gardening, whether it's washing the dishes, whether it's going for a bike ride, whatever it is. God seeks you and me where we are. And that's exactly what Jesus did with Simon Peter and the other disciples. God calls each of us into his service. God whispers into our lives when we're washing dishes over the kitchen sink, when we're at our workbench, when we're at shop, at school, while you're grocery shopping. God is calling you to follow the passion he has called you to. Feeding sheep, teaching, speaking, caring for the sheep, sharing, encouraging, visiting, supporting. Jesus brought an abundant blessing into the lives of those fishermen. Jesus shows up in our lives too. Perhaps not with fish and bread at breakfast. Perhaps as we're walking by the brook, by the sea. Perhaps while we're out on that early morning walk, that evening quiet time, he meets you there. I've often wondered, when Jesus spoke to Simon Peter, and he asked the question, "Do you love me more than these?" What are the these he's referring to? Certainly he wasn't asking if he loved Jesus more than the other disciples. Was he referring to the tools of the trade of fishing and the bountiful harvest of fish? Do you love me more than these? But it prompted Simon Peter to say, "Lord, you know that I love you." Well, let's carry on with the mission. That's the challenge that we have here at St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church, that we carry on with the mission. In the midst of the ordinary stuff, the mundane stuff, that we carry on with the mission of feeding, of shepherding, of supporting one another. Your personal testimony perhaps begins with the words from John 21 and verse 1. It's a little phrase, and I wondered if when you give your testimony, John, who's writing this down, says, "It happened like this. It happened this way." That's what John writes. "It happened this way." And then John recounts this amazing story that we're spending moments on this morning. If I was to ask you, tell me how it happened in your life with regard to the call of God through Jesus Christ. Tell me how it happened. And where are you now? May God be pleased to speak into our life through his word this day. Amen. Singers, please.
Thank you so much. Paul, we really appreciate that challenging message and affirming message, and look forward to listening for God and all those daily activities that we do and being inspired by that. Thank you. Let's all stand together and sing our closing song. Actually, it's not our closing song. We're going to sing this. We'll have the benediction, and then we do have a closing song, Everlasting, after that as well.
We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know. will work with each other. We will work side by side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love.
Let us pray. Into your hands, into your care, divine shepherd, we place our lives, we place our days. Undertake, we pray, for our human weaknesses when we move back into that lower level. Lift us up, O God, that we might see our place in your high and holy calling for each one of us. May the blessing of God our Father, the fellowship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who walks with us, and the indwelling presence of your Spirit be with all of God's people as we look forward to his coming again. Amen. Go in peace.